two of us are having a good evening. Good to be here, and it's good to be saved, isn't it?
God promised me if I would give my heart to give it.
banjo music. So we're going to hear about a missionary going where God sent him to go, to a place that is not easy to go. Sometimes God's will, matter of fact, I'd say most times, God's will takes us out of our comfort zone. Well, that's good. Amen. And this song is called Damascus Road. And it's about the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Saul. And we often say that Paul or Saul met the Lord on the Damascus Road, but really it's the Lord met Saul on the Damascus Road. And he saved him, and he gave him instructions on where to go next. Amen? And in a very simple way, that's the Christian life. Just day by day following the Lord wherever he leads, and he'll give us the next step after we take this step. Amen? And so this is kind of a... it's a fun song, but it's got a good message. Damascus Road. Thank you.
Amen. And I've already been encouraged. Amen. I appreciate that singing. Man, when you live on the foreign mission field in a place where there's no English, we only have a handful of songs in Greenlandic. We have a Bible that's not a good translation of the Bible. And then you come back to America, and you really, really appreciate what America has. Amen. And it's sad that every time we come back, the churches seem to be getting fewer and fewer and less in them. They don't realize what they're letting slip away, this great heritage. We know God raised up America. It's a miracle that America exists. You read the history of America, there's no way we should be here. We should have lost to the British a long time ago. But God raised this country up to get the gospel to every part of the world, even Greenland, amen. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight. And appreciate Pastor Barnes. Thanks for allowing me to be here. And I feel it's not right for me to be a preacher tonight. I appreciate it. Brother Thren, thank you. But just thank you. I thank this church for your faithful support for us in Greenland. How many of you remember us? I don't know if anyone's even here. I know Dr. Barnes is here and his wife. And who else back there? Okay, a couple. Amen. It's been, I think, 18 years since we were here. That's a long time. And we were just kids on deputation. And we praise the Lord for what He's done. He's done it all. It's been Him that got us to the mission field. We actually had pastors that would call our mission agency and ask. They asked, "Is this guy going to make it? He's kind of young. Do you think he'll make it on the mission field?" Well, by God's grace, we made it. Amen. We're in Greenland. We've been there now for 14 years, and you know, it's been all God. A missionary needs support, of course, to go to a foreign mission field. He can't work a job. But you know what keeps a missionary on the mission field and what sustains him? It's the prayers of God's people.
Amen.
I could tell you story after story of what God has done. And none of it had to do with money coming in to help us. It had to do with people's prayers, lifting our names up before God. And over again, I've told my wife, told my kids, you know, sometimes I'm like, I can't believe we're here in Greenland. You know, I just can't believe we did it. We're here. Amen. God did it. And I'll tell them, I'll say, the reason we're here, kids, the reason that we've made it this long is because of the prayers of God's people.
Amen.
I mean, it's just the things that God did, the miracle after miracle that God did in our lives to get us to Greenland and sustain us. How many of you have ever heard of William Carey? He was a pastor from India, from England, and he had a burden for the country of India. And they call him the father of modern-day missions. And he saw India as this great dark place, right? Because they didn't have the gospel, and they had all kinds of idolatry. And he was at a preacher's conference in England, and they were comparing India to the gold mines, where they would lower a person down on a rope, and they would go down there to look for gold, and it was a black pit, and they were dependent upon the ones holding the rope. And someone said, "Who will go?" And William Carey said, "I will go down into the pit, but you must hold the rope." Amen. And thank the Lord for you holding the rope for 18 years. Amen. And everything that God has done in Greenland, you've had a part in that. That's fruit added to your account. But before I say too much about Greenland, I want to ask you a few questions to see how much you know about Greenland. Amen. First of all, does anyone know where Greenland is on a map? Okay, good. True or false questions? You have a 50-50% chance of getting them right or wrong. Greenland is bigger in size than Alaska. How many of you think that's true? Now, if you've heard these questions before, you can't answer them. How many think that's false? That is true. Greenland is 1.5 times larger than the state of Alaska in size. There are no penguins in Greenland. How many think that's true? How many think that's false? That is true. No penguins in Greenland. They live near the South Pole. True or false? Most of Greenland is covered with ice and snow. How many of you think that's true? Okay, you got that one. Okay, 80 to 85% of the country is covered with ice and snow. There are no trees in Greenland. How many of you think that's true? How many think that's false? Well, I'll give it to you either way. Technically, it's true, but when the United States military came to Greenland, they transplanted trees in Greenland. So there are some trees, some pine trees in Greenland now. But there are no trees where we are, where we live. We don't, so we love coming to the Pine Tree State and seeing all these trees. There's no road system in Greenland. How many of you think that's true? How many think that's false? That's true. There are no roads. There are roads in the town itself, but there are no roads connecting one town to the next. And Greenland has around 70 towns and villages all along the coast of Greenland. And there's only 10 airports in the entire country. So that's a lot of remote places, a lot of isolated places that really need the gospel, don't they? Every single one of those towns. Some towns have thousands, some only have hundreds, some only have 50 people. And we've been to some of those towns with the gospel boat, amen? And we've been able to give gospel tracts to many people in those towns. Greenlanders love to play soccer. How many of you think that's true? How many of you think that's false? That's true. They love playing soccer. That's their number one sport. Of course, what do they call it in Greenland?
Football.
Football, that's right. The native people of Greenland are Eskimos. How many of you think that's true? How many think that's false? That is true. They're Eskimos. Now, it's no longer politically correct to call it Eskimo because it means eater of raw meat. Do they eat raw meat? Yes, they do. But they prefer to be called Greenlanders, or you may know the word Inuit. The native language is Greenlandic. How many of you think that's true? How many think that's false? That's true. It's Greenlandic, and that's the Eskimo language. The best way to describe it is they take a sentence and they put it into one long word. So you'll see these long words. They love using the letter Q, and there's no U after Q. But it's one of the most difficult languages, they say, to learn in the world. And I agree with them. I believe them. I think they're right. It took us several years before we knew the language good enough where we could preach in the language. And when we first got there, of course, we had no gospel tracts. We had to get gospel tracts, try to learn the language so we could translate gospel tracts. Amen. And then we could give out gospel tracts. When we arrived in Greenland, there was no one there, no other missionary. We were alone, and my family, when we arrived to Greenland, we got to the airport, and I mean, there was nobody waiting for us. We actually had reserved a hotel room before we got there, and they were supposed to pick us up at the airport. But when we arrived, nobody came, and we saw all the passengers leave the airport. This is a small airport. It's bigger than this room here, but not much bigger. But we saw all the passengers leave. And we're thinking, okay, what do we do now? You know, we just arrived here. This was the first time Carol had ever seen this town. And on the wall, there was a payphone. Now, some of you kids don't know what a payphone is. But the payphone was out of order. And, I think sometimes the Lord has a sense of humor. I was like, what do we do now? The payphone doesn't even work. Well, there was a woman in the back office that came out, and we asked her to call the hotel. She called the hotel. Hotel sent a van, they picked us up. But that was the beginning of several years and a lot of hardships. You know, there were a lot of hard times, but looking back, we saw God's hand in all that. Amen. God did the impossible over and over again. And let me just tell you one more story, then I'll get into the preaching. But as you know, we went to Iceland first. When we were finished deputation, ready to go to Greenland, the country said, you cannot come to Greenland. Now, Greenland is part of the Kingdom of Denmark. So all the immigration is dealt through Denmark. And they said the only way to get into Greenland is if there's a Baptist church in Greenland that invites you into the country. Well, of course, there were no Baptist churches. So we began praying about what to do. And we found out about the country of Iceland. And if we lived in Iceland for 7 years, we could get Icelandic citizenship. And then we could just go into Greenland without any paperwork. So that's what we planned to do. And we moved to Iceland. And God had other plans. Amen. After being there a short time, there was a military base there. And there was a Baptist church that was specifically to the U.S. servicemen. And the pastor asked me to preach one Sunday morning. And I talked about Greenland. And that morning, there was a woman there in the service who worked for the U.S. base as a liaison to the NATO forces. And now the NATO forces are 30 countries working together militarily. And the commander of the NATO forces at that time just happened to be a Danish man. And a Danish man just happened to own houses in southern Greenland. And this woman told him all about us. And now, I've never met the man, never corresponded before or after, but he told that woman, he said, "You tell that missionary to put my name on the application and to send it back in." And that's what we did. We put his name on the application, you know, Danish commander, and we got into Greenland way ahead of schedule. Amen. And the very next day after we found out about this contact, the military base in Iceland, the U.S. base, said they were closing and leaving Iceland. And I believe with all my heart that God kept that base open all those years to get the gospel to Greenland. Amen. Yeah. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Yes. But take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'll just tell you a little bit more about Greenland here while you turn to Luke chapter 5. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. But Greenland, where we are, we're 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle in the town of Ilulissat. I don't know if you can say that, Ilulissat. But that means icebergs. And we live in a little village of 5,000 people. And actually, it's the third largest town in Greenland. And the people there, of course, as we said, are Greenlanders. But we have a little church there, just a small work, but we praise God for what he's done. We have maybe 10 to 15 people that come on Sunday mornings, all native people. And all the preaching is in Greenlandic, the singing is in Greenlandic. And we have a little children's ministry on Wednesday nights. We get children to come out. And we don't have to do any advertising. Just once one kid comes, they tell all the other kids. And sometimes we'll have over 20 children, native children, in the church at one time. And our church is not much bigger than this room here. And they'll play games for a little while, and then we'll sit them down, and we'll memorize Bible verses. We'll sing songs. We'll teach a little lesson. And then my wife and my kids will cook and make cookies, chocolate chip cookies for the kids. But we praise the Lord for that. We've had over 100 different children come through in 1 year.
Amen.
And then we have the prison ministry. Now, how many of you ever been to prison? Well, how many of you ever visited prison? Amen. Now, if you've been to prison, we still love you. Amen. God saved you, right? You're here today. Amen. But in Greenland, it's not what you think of when you think of a prison like in America. It looks like a halfway house. You could kick the door out if you wanted to. The guards, they don't search anybody. Well, I guess they search the inmates. I hope they do. But they don't search me. I go in there. I bring in cookies again. My wife and kids make cookies. Now, I apologize that my wife's not here. And we actually have 5 children. They're a little under the weather. And I know they're going to regret not being here, but they were too sick. But they're a big part of the ministry. I cannot do anything without them. And we are a team. Amen.
Amen.
God called me, and they all followed. Amen. First, they didn't have a choice. My kids, they weren't even born yet, some of them. But it's home. But I praise God for my wife, Carol. She's got an awesome dad and an awesome mom that raised her right. And without her, we would have quit a long time ago. But she has always been right by my side, supporting me and encouraging me. Amen. But we have the prison. I go in there, and even though it doesn't seem like a real prison, there are inmates in there that have committed all different kinds of crimes. One time I asked a guy, I said, this is the only time I asked somebody, I said, "Why are you in here?" He seemed like a pretty nice guy, and he had actually been in there for a long time, got released, and while he was out, he came to church, he came to our house, Carol cooked several meals for him, and then he was back in the prison. So I asked him, I said, "You seem like a nice guy. What are you doing that you get into trouble?" He told me, he said, the first time, he said, "I killed a man." He said, "I wanted to see what it would be like to take the last breath out of a man." And, I was kind of shocked by that. And I actually Googled it. We have a Greenlandic news website. And sure enough, that's what he did. But he was intoxicated. He was drunk at the time. He committed that murder. And a lot of the problems in Greenland, most of the problems are the root of alcohol. I mean, alcohol is destroying the society in Greenland. I mean, they don't even have homes in Greenland. You know, if the governments really cared about its people, it wouldn't force them to wear masks. It would get rid of alcohol. Amen. We see these homes. My wife has dealt with small girls, you know, 12-year-olds, and just the horrible things they've experienced because of alcohol in the home. It would just tear you up, break your heart. And I told you some of the stories, and some of the kids that come to church. There's a 13-year-old boy that comes. Him and his sister come, and they walk a mile to church, even on Sundays, on Wednesdays, anytime there's activity. But there's 4 siblings in the family, and each sibling has a different father. and they live in different villages around Greenland, so that some of them have never even met their father, or it's been they can't remember their father, it's been so long. Can you imagine that? But that's the same in so many homes, so many of the people we're trying to reach. That's what it's like. And that's why sometimes it's easier to reach those kids, because they have nobody that cares about them. You know, it breaks your heart if you think about that. All you children here, you are blessed to have a Christian home. Amen. I tell my children that all the time. I say, you are blessed that you have a mom and dad that love the Lord and love you. And there's no excuse, right? To whom much is given, much shall be required. And I don't know why anyone would want to turn to the world. There's nothing there to offer you.
Right.
Just a lot of, just a ruined life. That's all the world has to offer you. But we praise God that we're in Greenland. Amen. And we got a long ways to go, but we praise God for what He's been doing there. And we appreciate your faithfulness in supporting us. But take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. I'm not that long of a preacher, but I do tell my kids that they want me to end faster, that every time I hear amen, I'll take 1 minute off the sermon, okay? But Luke chapter 5, look at verse number 4. It says, now when he, that's Jesus, had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, just thank you for this church, Lord, just for their excitement, Lord. You can just sense, Lord, that they want to be here, Lord. They want to hear from you. And thank you for the singing, Lord, how it's just has lifted up our souls, Lord, encouraged us. And Lord, I just pray now you challenge us through the word of God. Speak through our hearts, Lord. Help us just to follow you and do whatever you ask of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, as I read the Gospels, there's a lot about the sea, right? There's a lot about boats. A lot about fishermen. How many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen? At least 4 of them, right? That's 1/3 of the disciples were fishermen. Jesus did a lot of traveling around the Sea of Galilee. How many times do we read about Jesus in boats? He sat in the boat. He stood in the boat. He slept in the boat. The Bible says Jesus went to the cities and the villages preaching and teaching. He went to the rich and to the poor, right? To the upper class and to the outcast. Amen? In the book of Acts, we read about the Macedonian call. Do you remember that? When Paul had that vision of the man, he said, come over and help me. What does the Bible say? It says, immediately, Paul loosed from Troas. What does that mean, to loose? That means he got on a boat, amen, to reach the people there in Macedonia with the gospel. What about the songs in our songbook that we sing that deal with the sea? Jesus saves. If you read those words, send the light. How about one of my favorites, throw out the lifeline. That was actually written by a Baptist from New England, a Baptist preacher. But some real good songs we sing. But as I read through the Gospels, they remind me of Greenland. In Greenland, we have the sea, we have boats, we have villages, and we have fishermen. Now, we live in the Disco Bay, which is, disco has nothing to do with disco music. That's just the Danish name for our bay. But we live in the Disco Bay. And once again, that's about 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And in our bay, there's 12 towns and villages that we can reach with the gospel boat. And we have lots and lots and lots of fishermen in our town. If you're not a fisherman, then you're related to a fisherman. Fishermen, they use what? They use boats, don't they? And we have a lot of boats in Greenland. Just like Americans, they have cars, maybe sometimes 2 cars, 3 cars. The fishermen in Greenland, they have boats. And not just the fishermen, but everybody, almost everyone has a boat in Greenland. Now, in the fishermen, they use their boats all year long, but the rest of the town people, they have a boat because they have summer homes. Now, you have summer homes in Maine, right? Well, do you know what a summer home in Greenland is? It's a place, it's a shack with no plumbing and no electricity. And the people in our town of 5,000, they say, man, I need to get away from this big city. I'm going to my summer house. So they get in their boat and they go to their summer house. But if you were to see our harbor, you would see that our harbor is a small, crowded harbor. And in the summer, they put these pontoon docks in there. And you'll see, I mean, they're crowded. There's so many boats out there. And you'll see a boat come in the harbor, and you'll think to yourself, well, there's no way that boat can tie up. There's no place. All the places are taken. And that boat will pull up in between 2 boats, and it'll just start ramming those 2 boats until those boats slowly separate, and they're able to force their way in between those 2 boats. Now, can you imagine doing that in Maine? I've seen some of the boats here. You get shot, wouldn't you? Now, we have a boat that's too big for the docks. So we actually have to anchor our boat in the harbor. And there's not a lot of room. And but there's still people that will run right into our boat. We call it bumper boats. That's what we call it in Greenland. It's bumper boats. But look at verse number 1 of Luke chapter 5. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw." He stood by the lake and saw. Now in this passage, there's a progression of the work of God in a person's life. We see Jesus was on the shore. You know, the safest place to be is on the shore. There's no worry about drowning. You don't have to worry about the boat sinking. How many of you ever been out in the deep sea? Way out in the deep sea? How many have been so far out you couldn't see land? That can be a scary place to be. Especially depending on the vessel that you're in. Now, in Greenland, there's some rough-looking vessels. My father-in-law, he's been on a few of those boats. But I was seal hunting with a Bible intern, a Bible college intern. He came to Greenland, wanted to intern. And we were seal hunting. Now, seal hunting is legal in Greenland. I know the seals are cute, but they're also tasty, right? we were seal hunting with a native, and it was just a small 12-foot open boat. And we were out in the middle of the bay, and my native friend turned the motor off. He reached down on the inside of the boat and removed a little square of the bottom of the boat, and there was water in there. And he took a little cup and he started bailing the water out. And that Bible college student, he looked at me and he said, "Is it safe to be out here?" I said, "I don't know, it's too late to ask that." I said, we need to pray. But the safest place to be is on shore, isn't it? Now, our town means icebergs. The native word is Ilulissat, which means icebergs, and that's because we're located right beside a glacier. And it puts out enough ice each day that could supply the city of New York City with fresh water for a year. So you can imagine, just picture in your mind all the ice. The bay, sometimes that bay is just full of ice. Sometimes there's big icebergs the size of a football stadium. I had a guy from Alaska come visit us. And the first morning he looked out the window and he said, "Oh, I didn't remember that mountain." And I said, "Oh, that's not a mountain, that's an iceberg." He said, "Brother, I'm from Alaska. I know what an iceberg is. That is not an iceberg." Well, about 2 hours later, he looked out the window and he said, "The iceberg moved, or the mountain moved." And he said, "I'm sorry, you're right, it is an iceberg." It's a dangerous place to be out in the water. You know, we also have two currents that are going in the opposite directions, that are going against each other. So when you're out in the middle of that, you can have icebergs coming from this side, icebergs coming from this side. And there's been times that we've been in a boat and we had to decide, do we gun it and try to get past the icebergs, or do we go in reverse? And it's been scary. There's one time I was with a native friend. Now, in our boat, we're very careful. Pastor Steve Nisley, and my father-in-law, we call him Pop-Pop. My kids call him Pop-Pop. But he's our captain, and he does a good job of going slow and being careful and avoiding. You can't avoid all the ice, obviously. But I was with a native, and it was wall-to-wall ice. And he was just sailing, and he would just smash that ice. The whole boat would shake and shudder. And I remember just praying, saying, "God, please get us safely to shore. If you get us safely to shore, I'll never get on another boat." Of course, God had other plans, didn't he? God wanted us to start a boat ministry. But the safest place is to be on the shore. You know, just let everybody else do all the work, you know. But you know what? We all need to get involved in God's work, don't we?
Amen.
We all should want to be involved in God's work. Every year, I mean, there's a number of people that are lost at sea. You know, so yes, it is. It may be the safest place to be on the shore, but the fish are in the sea, aren't they? Amen.
Right.
Several years ago, there was a tsunami that hit Greenland, and I don't know if you ever heard about that. But there was an earthquake, and it shook the mountain. The mountain crumbled, and it sent a tidal wave towards this little village of 50 people. And there were people in their homes, and the tidal wave just swept some of those homes right into the water. There was a family of three. That was in one of those homes that they never found. And you know, there is an organization that tracks those tsunamis. They track earthquakes. They have a radar system. It's located in Europe, and they can track all these earthquakes and tsunamis all around the world. And they have a warning system, you know, and they warn people. But they had no way of warning that little village in Greenland. And those people perished. You know, there's an organization here this evening in Palermo. It's called the Second Baptist Church. And they have a radar system that predicts the coming judgment of God upon sinners, upon this world. And they have a warning system, amen, that Jesus Christ put into place, right? It's called missions. And you know, missions is reaching everywhere at the same time, isn't it? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, amen?
Yes.
And you need to be faithful right here in your home church while you're reaching the rest of the world, amen?
Yes.
And you know, in the Bible, the sea is always a picture of humanity, isn't it? And the Lord wants us to get involved in reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's too many people standing on the shore watching everyone else do all the work.
Right.
And we all need to get involved, don't we? Look at verse number 2. It says, And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. The disciples were washing their nets, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were in the water, weren't they? They got their feet wet. They were wading in the water, washing these nets. And what we need to get into the water. We need to get our feet wet. You know, it's a little uncomfortable at first, isn't it? Have you ever been swimming before? And when you first get into that pool, it's cold, right? It might be 90 degrees outside, but you get in that pool and you put your foot in that pool and you're cold or chilly, right? And then you slowly get into that pool and then it gets comfortable, right? And then you don't want to get out, right? Then you want to stay in there. When you get out, you feel cold, don't you? And that's the way the work of the Lord is. You know, sometimes if you've never been involved in a local church, never been involved in God's work, it can be a little uncomfortable at first. But you know what? The more you get involved, the more comfortable it gets, amen? And you don't want to stop, amen? Once you start serving the Lord, you don't want to quit. It's too exciting, isn't it, to be involved in God's work. Now, you know, my father-in-law, I won't tell you how old he is, but he's around 70 years old. And, you know, he's been involved in ministry for many, many years. And he is the main reason we have a boat ministry in Greenland. You know, I was praying about it for years, but it was something that would be, you know, we would do, you know, in a long time. We had lots of missionaries in Greenland. And my father-in-law, he came over there and he saw the need and he said, man, we need to get a boat ministry up and running. We need to reach these villages with the gospel. And he got us a boat, amen. And he's got his feet wet, figuratively and literally, amen. I don't know if you ever heard the story. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that story. But he jumped in the water with both feet in the cold Arctic waters, amen. And so what's our excuse here tonight, huh?
Yeah.
What's our excuse for not getting involved? You're never too old, you're never too young to get involved in God's work, amen? There's always something to be done. And if you don't know what to do, you ask your pastor, he'll find you something to do,
yeah.
Amen? God wants to use each and every one of us in his church. Look at verse number 2. It says, saw two ships standing by the lake. How many ships? But the fishermen were gone out of them. How many people were in those boats? Zero, right?
Yeah.
Look at verse 3. And he, Jesus, entered into one of the ships. Jesus stepped into one of the boats. Now you and I need to get into the boat with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now you notice there were two empty boats. And I think about Jesus. I think about when he saw those two empty boats, he saw all the potential. If those boats were being used to catch fish, just think of all the fish those boats could be used, could catch if they were being used. And you know, I think of all the potential here this evening. You know, I'm just a man, but I look around here and I see all the potential. All these young people too. Hey, wow, it's exciting. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ when he looks around here and he sees all the potential in this room.
Right.
If we all were being used in God's work. But unfortunately, a lot of people are like these empty vessels, sitting and not being used. God wants to use us. Don't miss out on opportunity. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have all these gifts and talents. Well, that's okay. Amen. God still wants to use you, right?
That's right.
You know, I used to make a list of all the people that were called to Greenland. And I got the list up to 40 different people. You know, there's only one missionary family in Greenland, and that's us. There might be a lot more talented and gifted people, but where are they? Amen? You're here, amen? God wants to use you. Several years ago, a church sent us a crate of tools. They sent us a crate of tools to Greenland. And the best way to describe these tools is they were old, worn out, broken tools. There was a level that wasn't level. We didn't realize that until after we put in some windows and doors. There was a hammer. First time we used the hammer, the claws went flying off the back. There was an old table saw that was from the 60s. It was broken and parts were broken on it. Now, the people meant well, amen? But it was old. They were old tools. And we had this church building that we were able to get, a 2,000 square foot building, and it needed some work, and there was a group from another church coming to help us. And when they got there, they asked me what tools I have. I showed them my tools. And the master carpenter, he couldn't believe it. He was thinking, wow, he's heard these stories of missionaries getting used things, but he had never seen it like this. But you know what? He didn't sit around and complain all week. There was work to be done, amen? And he used the tools that were available. And he was a master carpenter. He used a sawzall to cut a hole in the countertop to put in a sink. Now, you usually don't use a sawzall. That's usually for when to remove something, demolish things, right? But he used a sawzall. And when he was done, you couldn't tell. It looked beautiful, amen? And you know, there's a master carpenter, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you know, when he has a job to do, and he goes into the tool shed, he doesn't go in there and say, oh, I wish so-and-so were here. I wish brother so-and-so were here. I wish sister so-and-so were here. Oh, I just think what they could know. He uses what is available. Amen. Are you available tonight? Amen. Are you in that tool shed? Will you let God use you? Oh, you say, well, I'm an old broken down tool. Amen. God can use you, right? Amen. And because a tool is nothing, right? It's an inanimate object, right? It's how the carpenter uses the tool. And Jesus Christ can use you and make you into something beautiful. Amen. He can turn your life into something beautiful. You know, the Bible talks about an abundant life. Amen. That's what the Bible promises us if you're a saved person. Amen. You know, we're just a base thing, but in the Master's hand, He can use us and make something wonderful out of us. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We need to be available and let God use us. I know Peter was glad that he stepped into that boat with Jesus, wasn't he? And we need to let Jesus have control of our boat. We need to let Jesus have control of our lives, of our possessions. We need to be available. Look at verse 3 and the middle part there. It says, and he prayed. Jesus prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. You know, it's not enough just to get our feet wet and to get into the boat, but we need to thrust out a little from the shore, right? You want to experience God's blessings? Then thrust out a little. Yeah. Try God and see what He will do through you. You know, sometimes people are a little afraid, right? We talked about that earlier. You know, maybe I think Brother Thren or Pastor Barnes, somebody talked about being uncomfortable. You know, we need to be uncomfortable for the Lord, don't we? Yeah. And, you know, that's a problem. A lot of times, you know, we don't want to serve the Lord because we're uncomfortable. You know, we think it's going to be uncomfortable. And sometimes it is uncomfortable. When we first got to Greenland, I could tell you some stories of being uncomfortable. Living with a honey bucket for seven months. A honey bucket is a plastic toilet with a bag. You know, it gets a little uncomfortable at times. But you know, you're living in a camper, right? Yeah. Amen. But you know what? God will use you if you can step out of your comfort zone. Amen. Amen?
Yeah.
And we need to thrust out a little from the shore. You say, well, what can I do? Well, you know what? You can get involved in the local church. That's where it all begins.
Yeah.
God's not going to call you across the country, across the world, if you're not involved in the local church.
Right.
You need to be involved right here. You know, so, well, I'm a little nervous. Well, you know what? You can just go out and give out a gospel tract.
Yeah.
And you can still be close to the shore, right? You can still see Palmero, right? Palermo. You can still see Second Baptist Church, right? You can invite someone to church. You can invite a co-worker to church. There's so much you can do, right? Right here in your hometown, right?
Yeah.
In your Jerusalem. Now look at verse number 3, the last part. It says, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, now Jesus taught the people from the ship, it says here. He preached the gospel, right? He got in that boat, and he preached the gospel to those people on the shore. You know, we have our boat, which is called Evangeliu, which is the Greenlandic word for the gospel. And we call our boat the gospel boat. But the first gospel boat was Peter's boat, wasn't it? Jesus used that boat as a pulpit, and he preached the gospel to those people there.
Amen.
On the shore. And, you know, like I said earlier, my father-in-law's had a big part in our boat ministry, and, you know, we have a lot of plans for that boat. We've been to several villages, given out tracts, but we want to go back and one day, you know, see a church or see some kind of work established in those small villages and those small towns. Some of those towns only have 50 people. Some have 1,500 people. And there's one town across the bay that has 3,500 people. Souls there that have never heard the gospel. You know, in our ministry, there's children and adults that have never heard the story of Jonah and the whale. They've never heard of Daniel and the lion's den. Can you imagine that? never hearing these stories, never hearing of David and Goliath. That's the way it is in Greenland. They know nothing of the gospel, nothing of the Word of God. They don't even know how to use a Bible. I'll tell them to turn the Bibles to the book of Matthew, and they have no idea. They have to go to the table of contents to find the book of Matthew in their Bible. Just think about that. We need to reach people with the gospel, don't we? Yes. Look at verse number 4. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." You know, not enough just to thrust out a little. God's still not through. He wants us to launch out into the deep. Amen. Total surrender, right? Let go and let God. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever just said, okay, God, I'm going to let go and I'm going to let you have total control of my life? And that's really when you see the greatest blessings in your life. That step of faith, man. You take that step of faith, you will see God work in your lives. I mean, you'll just see God do a miracle. You'll see God remove mountains. God will just do one miracle after another. Amen? Look at verse number 4, last part. It says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Verse 5, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." They toiled all night and had taken nothing. Now these were fishermen, right? They knew how to fish. They weren't lazy, right? But they had toiled all night and had caught nothing. You know, I think about the fishermen in Greenland. They are some of the toughest men you will ever meet. I mean, nothing stops them from fishing. I mean, it can be minus 30 degrees outside and they'll keep fishing. And the disciples, they knew how to fish, but they had not caught anything. And they were done, man. It was quitting time. They were putting their nets away. They were done, right? They were through for the night. You know, and I think about us as God's children. Sometimes we can grow weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
And no, that shouldn't be. The Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Yeah. But sometimes we grow weary because we're putting too much on ourselves. We're trying to do too much in our own strength. And we think we have to do it. We have to accomplish it. No, God has to do the work through us. We have to let go and let God. And sometimes, you know, we can get to the point where we feel like quitting. And I told you, I've come back to America and there's so many people missing in the church. They've quit. They've quit on God. And so many people in the ministry have quit. So many missionaries have quit over the years. In Greenland, several years ago, there was this boat with 5 people on board that ran into a rock in the water, one of these mountains under the sea. And the boat began to sink. And before the boat sank, one man was able to radio for help. We have a search and rescue in our area. It's a big, big bay, and it's a big area. But you can call this number, you know, on the radio, and they'll send someone out to find you if they can find you. And the next day, the next morning, we were out in the gospel boat after this boat crashed. And we could hear over the radio the search and rescue giving out the GPS coordinates of the boat. Now, we weren't near the boat at all, but we could hear them giving updates. And they were talking about how they recovered one person and they recovered one body. And every hour they give an update. And finally, in the afternoon, they said the search is over. They were done. They were quitting. They never found the other 3. You know, and I think about that, you know, it was kind of a surreal moment just thinking that the search was over for those 3 people. And they probably perished. But you know what? Jesus Christ never quits fishing for men. Amen. And you and I must never quit fishing for men. You know, there's a sea out there of humanity crying out. They're crying out in their sins. They don't even know what they need. We know what they need, don't they? don't we? And they're perishing in their sins. And they need to hear the gospel, don't they? Now, the Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. We need to get out there and we need to seek and to save the lost. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Amen. Peter said, "We toiled all the night and have taken nothing." But then what did he say? He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word," right? He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." You know, in Greenland, there's been times that, you know, we've gotten discouraged. I mean, it took us almost 4 years to get the language well enough that I could preach a sermon in Greenlandic. I was actually preaching in Danish first. And there was a native that I would preach in Danish. He would interpret into Greenlandic. I did that for over a year, maybe 2 years. And then he moved away to Denmark. So I was left with 10 to 15 people in the church. And not one of them could speak Danish or English. And he was talking about a difficult time. And I started using a slide projector with Bible verses on it in Greenlandic, and I would translate one sentence and try to explain the Bible to them. You know, there were times we were discouraged. There were times we didn't have any fellowship, of course. Times we just went, Lord, what are we doing anything? Are we accomplishing anything for you, Lord? You ever been there before? You ever thought, Lord, am I doing anything? Am I just wasting my time? You're not wasting your time, amen?
Amen.
One day it's all going to come to an end, amen? And we're going to stand before the Lord, amen?
Yes, sir.
Must not quit. Too easy to quit. You know, if the Bible says, what's the Bible say? If you quit in the day of adversity, how's it go? Your strength is small. And boy, our strength is small, isn't it? Our strength is really small. But I'm sure glad the Bible says the just man falls seven times, but what? He gets up again. Amen. He rises up again. And we must not quit. We need to get out there and we need to stay faithful to the Lord. Amen. And I think about my father-in-law. Oh, so many times he talks about being faithful because of his children and grandchildren. Amen.
Yes.
And that's what I'm starting to realize now. The older my children get, we need to be faithful. Amen. I'm going to be able to take my children to heaven. Amen. I want to see them in heaven. I want to see my grandchildren in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And I appreciate, you know, all the young ones here today. Amen. What a blessing to see all these young people here. But Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down their net. He said one net, right? Let down the net. And what happened there? Look at the next verse. We're almost done here. It says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net, what? Break. Amen. Amen. I'm sure glad that they were glad they didn't quit, right? They listened to the Lord. And we need to listen to the Lord. You know, I wish you could see some of the faces that are in Greenland. You know, there's a woman walking by our church one time. We gave her a gospel track. And a year later, she called us up and she said, I have my ticket. Can I come to church? And it took about a year of going through the Bible with her before she got saved. But praise the Lord, she got saved. And there's been others that have made a profession of faith, you know, but we've just been giving out the seed, preaching, giving out the seed, casting out the seed, amen? And waiting for God to give the increase. We have the children that come and they memorize John 3:16 and memorize Romans Road. These kids are quoting Greenlandic Bible verses in their own language just because we're there, amen? Amen. And you all had a part in that because you sent us. But look at verse number 10. We're almost done here. Verse number 10. The greatest catch of fish they ever had, right, was right then, wasn't it? Now, what were they going to do? That was the question. Now, what were they going to do? Actually, I should back up a little bit. Verse number 7. It says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled what? Both the ships, so that they began to sink. How many ships were being used in the beginning? Zero, right? How many ships are being used now? And how many are sinking? Two, right?
Two.
God's work is contagious, isn't it? And this was the greatest catch of fish ever. Now, what is Peter going to do? What are these disciples going to do now? Are they going to sell the fish and invest all that money into the business and grow the business? Look at verse number 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch what? Men.
Yeah.
And when they had brought their ships to land, they did what? Forsook all and what? Followed him. Amen. They left it all behind to follow Jesus. And a few years later, they experienced the greatest catch of men, didn't they, on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Don't be afraid to launch out into the deep. Several years ago, there was a boat. So I tell all these sad stories, but it's life in Greenland. And you know, when you hear about us in the gospel boat, you'll know how to pray for us better. But there was this boat with a 12-year-old boy, his parents, and his uncle, and they were sailing at night, and they hit an iceberg, and the three adults fell overboard right away, and that 12-year-old was left on the boat by himself. Do we have any 12-year-olds here? Got some young people here, but this 12-year-old was left on the boat by himself, and he didn't know how to operate the motor, but he was able to get on the radio, and he was crying for help, but there was no GPS tracker on the boat, so the search and rescue couldn't pinpoint where the boat was. And that boy cried out all night until the next morning a fisherman found him and rescued him. You know, some people ask, well, what about life jackets? Do they use life jackets in Greenland? Well, actually, it's the law that you have one life jacket on board per person. But you know how people, they think, oh, that'll never happen to me. You know, I'm never going to be in an accident. I'm never going to die. Isn't that the same thing with spiritually? You know, you talk to a person about their soul and they think, oh, I'm never going to die. That's way in the future. They don't want to think about it. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is a day coming, right? And we're going to die. We're all going to die. And you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Amen? But I think about all the people that have perished in the sea of sinfulness, right?
Yeah.
And all those, we can't help the ones that have already perished. But there are people that are in the sea right now crying out for help. And we can get out there and we can reach them with the gospel, right? We can go out there. You know, there's an organization here this evening, the Second Baptist Church, amen? And they have a radar system, the Word of God, and they have a warning system called missions. The gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? It's a light that shineth in a dark place, amen? And this world is getting darker. America is getting darker. You know that. And it breaks my heart when I read about what's going on in America. I see, you know, how this country is changing so quickly. I mean, this is becoming a dark, dark land, you know, and this world, you know, the communism, whatever you want to call it, all the socialism, it may destroy America, but you know what? It will never destroy the church, amen? And this is the church we have right here tonight. This is the church right here. This is the local church right here. And the Bible says the gates of hell should not prevail against it, amen? And this is the church has lasted for 2,000 years, amen? Right. It's gone through some harder times than COVID, amen?
Right.
And it's going to come out prevailing, amen? And don't be afraid to launch out into the deep, amen? The one who said to launch out into the deep is the same one that walked on the water, amen? Pastor Barnes, I'm done here. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you that it's just so powerful. And Lord, I just pray you'd use us. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid. Help us to allow you into our lives, and to use us, Lord, to direct us, to guide us wherever you would have us to go. And Lord, help us be faithful right here every day. Lord, every day we have a job to do. Lord, we need to be a witness, Lord, a testimony, a light that shineth in a dark place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and stand together for a moment.